Book of Acts, chapter number one tonight. Book of Acts. If I'm not any good for anything else tonight, you got to laugh. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. God's good. Actually, while I was singing that, I had some wonderful thoughts going through my mind. Maybe you didn't, but I did. The songs always speak to my heart, but I had just taken a drink of water out of that. By the way, isn't this something? In our country, we think this is more pure than what we're getting out of our pipes. I don't know. So we drink it out of some plastic bottle. Anyways, I appreciate all the little things that get taken care of. That's something a doc does. And he makes sure that I got water up here week after week. And a little hard to get up steps now, so he tells Greg, take care of that. And so he always makes sure I got a bottle of water up here, which has been very appreciated in the last several months. It's good to be able to have that. Little things that people see, they just take care of and so forth. I was trying to think who it was. One of our folks came to me one time and they said they really fell in love with Brother Todd because Ron Todd, who's our missionary down in Costa Rica, when they saw him walking through the parking lot, there was a piece of paper on the laying on the cement, and saw him just reach down and grab it, pick it up, and put it in his pocket. And what went immediately to their heart and their mind was, there's a servant's heart. And by the way, if you ever around him, if you got to spend a week, as I have on three or different occasions down there with him, you would see that over and over and over again. And so he just one of those kinds of servants. Kind of pushy at times when you're there, but nonetheless, he's a tremendous servant of God. And I appreciate all of those things. People see something and think, hey, I can do that. And sometimes folks will come and say, would you mind if I did that? No, why would I mind? You know, thank you. Other times folks just pick it up and do it and make things, whatever it is. Maybe look nicer, maybe this, that, the other little thing. Those are all that thing, all that stuff we work together for. Praise the Lord for that opportunity. I'm thankful in this church to have people with different skills, different understandings, different abilities, and so forth. It's a blessing to be able to see that. There are areas I wish we had people who had skills in, but we don't. So that's the way that one works. Nonetheless, we thank the Lord because it always gets done some way, somehow. And we're just very, very thankful for that and God's blessing. By the way, we had two air conditioners stolen. Thank God for insurance. Those will cost, as it's turning out, somewhere around, I forget what it is, between $5,000 and $6,000 to have those replaced. And thieves probably got maybe $100 worth of metal out of them. Thieves sometimes are not too bright. They go to a lot of work for that. I thought about putting an envelope on there and say on there, see pastor, go to 2717 Avenue Inn. If you really need money desperately, don't cut the lines, don't steal the air conditioners, just come over and I'll hand you a $50 bill along with my dog. And those kind of things happen, but they should be getting put in here within the next couple of weeks, I trust. It's one of those busy times of the year and so forth. One of the things to pray for, sometimes we don't think about it, Lord, just protect stuff. We got a lot of stuff that sits outside. We got a playground sits out here. There's fences, there's vehicles, there's the buildings. And many years ago, somebody just, after we put the light up out front so they could see, they came in and did a cookie in the front yard. I thought, why did we put a light up so they could see how to do it? If you notice out there now, we got a little bit of a ditch there, and hopefully they kind of discouraged from doing that. Though we have had people drive through the yard. And, different things that way. Just, ask God for His protection. I do live next door. Does not mean I see and hear everything. And He is, those are things, all those kind of things. But I thank the Lord for all the different things that people see and get involved with and pick up the ball. I thank the Lord for folks who are willing just day after day after day, week after week after week, just keep on doing the job. keep on doing what's necessary to be done. There are things that I would not like to do. I have never volunteered for the nursery. I feel, brethren, as though my calling is here. There is, oh my goodness. We've had some of our men who are willing to go down the nursery. Normally a man kind of goes nuts in the nursery. Men are just geared differently. With hearing aids, by the way, little kids can absolutely drive me nuts real quick. Because of the sounds they make, it just escalates somehow or other. By the way, it's a short trip, I know. But I'm very thankful for all of that. And yet, I stand in this pulpit because I believe that each of us can improve. I believe sometimes we get comfortable where we're at. I believe sometimes we do not really realize where we are at. And I want to share with you tonight something from the book of Acts, and I hope to make a little bit of application tonight. And by the way, just rejoice together. Oh, time out. I got to go back. I was reading Psalm 100 this morning, and what did I do? That's what I should have done earlier. But come into His presence with what? Thanksgiving. I thought, wow. So often we come into the presence of God. I mean, we come to God in prayer so often. Give me. I want. And not with thanksgiving. I was just thinking about that. I thought, wow, that is a tremendous thought. You'll find that, by the way, several times throughout the book of Psalms. Okay, time in. Chapter number 1, book of Acts, please. Verse number 1 says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up. After that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank You. We have the privilege tonight to enter this house. We thank You, O God, for a people that have a heart to work. But, O God, we also know tonight there are great needs within each of us. Lord, I believe tonight that You want to speak to our hearts. Lord, we who are assembled here, we know many who are not here, but Lord, we who are assembled here, we ask You to deal with each of us. Speak to us tonight. Give us open hearts, open minds to the things of God. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I must confess to you tonight, I cannot see my notes. I opened my computer up today, began to type my notes, or was going to type my notes, and I use a program called Word, and it would not open. And it's almost like the program is gone. And the icon is still there, but would not do. I have this in my old-fashioned handwriting. I can't even read the first sentence. So if you see me kneeling tonight, it's not because I'm spiritual. It's because I have poor eyesight. But I want to stop and think about this passage tonight, because we find that after the ascent, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, as told to us in these verses and as witnessed in chapter number 2, was the descent of the Spirit of God. Not that he wasn't here before, but he came in a glorious fashion upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost. We find in our text today that the Lord told them that they were to wait for the promise, it says there, of the Father, which ye have heard of me. And that promise, he says, was that they might be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now we know that before this particular event, that he breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So he evidently indwelt them, but on this occasion, we find the Lord saying that he was going to baptize them, immerse them with himself. And the power of the Spirit of God, I believe, came upon him. I believe there's two things about the Spirit of God. One is his indwelling and one is his empowering. When you and I get saved, he comes and dwells within us. But as we yield ourselves to him, then he is able to empower us to do the work that is before us. And so you have this twofold ministry of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. And we find that the instructions were that they would wait for him. If you go back with me to verse number 2, it's interesting that in this treatise that is being made, in this letter, it tells us what Jesus began to do until the day he was taken up. Notice the next few words. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And so we find the Lord Jesus for 3 years, three and a half perhaps, taught the disciples. At the ascension of Christ and the descension of the Spirit of God upon these men, we find that now they are being taught by the Spirit of God and being led by him for the rest of their ministry. What a glorious thought that is, because that is exactly what God wants in our lives. We find that as this ongoing event is taking place here in chapter 1, after telling them they were going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit of God, we find in verse number 6 that they say to him, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom in Israel," or to Israel. They were concerned yet that that kingdom of heaven, that which would be their earthly kingdom, might be raised up again. But the Lord Jesus, I believe, wants to call their attention to a far greater kingdom, and that is the kingdom of God. Though it's not stated here, and yet he is telling us that he wants them to do something, and that is to basically take the gospel into the entire world. He tells them that they are to take it to Jerusalem. That's where they were at. If we were to make application of that, we live, or most of us are living, or very close to Council Bluffs, Iowa. We could say that is our Jerusalem. He says, "I want you to take it from there into Judea and Samaria." Whether you would call that the surrounding states or the surrounding nations, whether it be Illinois, Nebraska, or Missouri, or Minnesota, or whether it be Mexico and Canada, the truth is still the same. And then he says, "unto the uttermost." By the way, I want you to notice a word that is in verse number 8. It says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." What is that word? Both. "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both." In other words, God wants us to understand it's not just one place, then the next, then the next. God wants to understand we have a ministry in all of those areas. And we are to take the gospel basically to the world. And he is saying to them this: they need to be concerned not with the kingdom of what I would describe as heaven, but the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, we find from Scripture, is entered into by the new birth. It is that which you and I are entering into when we get saved. And we become a part of his kingdom. Matter of fact, in that kingdom we are sons, are we not? And you and I become relatives, if you please. We are in relationship with God. We are his sons, and we have the privilege to come unto him as unto our Father. By the way, may I just take a little parenthesis here? In today's culture, in a lot of today's churches, one of the things that's taking place is that we have the idea that because we have a friendship with God, that we are on kind of speaking terms like we might be with a friend. And it's almost like, "Hey God, you want to hang out for a while?" No. We understand something today, and that is God is still God. We might have familiarity with Him, but He is still to be respected. He is still our Heavenly Father. And we ought to treat Him and speak of Him in those kinds of terms. And not get into the wrong thing that I find is happening so often. I don't know about you, but I still like calling people Mr. This and Mr. That and so forth. And yet today it seems to be popular that we know our banker by his first name. By the way, my banker is Mr. Gronstall. And that's just the way it is. I'm going to call him by first name. And he doesn't do the same to me. And I thank the Lord that we have the privilege to come unto God in a relationship, but still He is who? God. Okay? How we need to remember that. But we find that these men now have been told by the Lord, we have a responsibility to take the gospel into the world. And we find that we have now a wonderful job one with another. What we see in the book of Acts as they were brought into this commission. By the way, a commission is a commission. The word co, maybe you remember the word company, a group of people. Company was basically a co-many, many people together. That word co is really together. And we have a commission. It's not just simply a mission, but it's one that has brought together all of us. We must operate together as we seek to get the gospel to a lost and a dying world. One of the things that we noted as we saw those come this morning and did the play is how they must work together in order to get that message across. By the way, that's what we must do all the time as we labor one with another. And so we have this wonderful place where you and I can what? Bring that gospel. Now these instructions that were given to these men through the Holy Spirit of God, the commands that were given, I believe as we look here, cause some things to take place in the book of Acts. There's a couple of very small phrases I want to go to tonight and I want to consider them for just the next few moments. As we consider tonight that these men, as they were commissioned by the Spirit of God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, to take the gospel to a lost and a dying world, as we see that taking place, we notice there are some things that are very true. One of those I find is a key phrase in the book of Acts. And it's simply in one accord. In one accord. Think about that for a moment. In one accord. It's first seen in verse number 14 of our text. It says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. If you and I are going to really have one accord, I believe that's where it needs to start at. If there's something that you and I must do one with another, and that is that we must learn to pray one with another. What is prayer, by the way? It's asking God for the needs of our life. It is praising God for who He is. I mean, there's so much involved in prayer. But in supplication, we're going to God, we're expressing needs. One of the problems we have one with another is we have trouble praying with one another because of our pride. We have trouble praying with one another because we're afraid to admit to God in front of other people that we have a problem. Isn't that true? And so you and I, what do? We have this problem. It's a pride issue. It's just that plain and simple. But when we get in the place of humility, one with another, whereby we can ask God for the needs of our life, that which is so desperately needed in my life, what's needed in your life, and as we can pray together one with another, it brings us into this place of one accord. A true prayer meeting is not a time to hear the prayers of others and say, oh, I know what's wrong with them, and go gossip to somebody else. No, it is for the purpose of understanding they have needs just like you and I, and when we're done together, we can still pray for them individually. Who in this room has reached perfection? Not in one of us. And so here they are. They met together. They're one accord in prayer. For 10 days they met. We're lucky if we can get 10 minutes. But praise the Lord, they took 10 days. They prayed to the Lord, and God marvelously blessed. I believe the reason that we can go into the next verse or next place in the book of Acts in chapter number 2 and see on that day of Pentecost and all that transpired that day is because of the one accord in prayer. And in verse number 1 it says of chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were what? All with one accord in one place. God was able to bless and to work in their lives. 8 times in the book of Acts, we find that this phrase is used in connection with God's people. To use a couple of other occasions in referring to those who were against them. And so here we find these people in a mission one with another, and that is to get the gospel to a lost and dying world and to be in one accord. It began in the closet if one with another. As we prayed, and as they prayed, I should say. How glorious we find that to be. There's another word we can look at here in our text tonight, and we see it often, a word that we often just do not even think about. And it's a very simple word, we use it over and over again, and it's the word and. A-N-D. If you're in chapter 1, just look down through. Look at the first verse, first word in many of the sentences, many of the verses. What do you see? And. What does that tell me? That tells me that these people had a commitment and stuck at it. Continuous action. If there's one thing that we find in the book of Acts, is that they were what? Busy from this action to this action to this action. And they did this, and they did this, and they did this, and they did this, and they did this. The book of Acts never really ends. It just stops recording. Because the acts of God's people are still being recorded. As you and I are laboring for the Lord Jesus Christ. And. And I think about that, and I think of these men and these women who met there in that upper room, committed themselves to prayed and seeking after God until that time that He said He would bring the Holy Ghost upon them. These men, especially as they began their ministry there on the day of Pentecost and kept at it. There's an old-fashioned word that we sometimes use, and that word is commitment. Oftentimes, as we come to church, we think, I'm really committed to God. I've been coming to Sunday school, I've been coming to church. But are we really committed to God? Is there continuous action? If we have commitment in our soul, there is no quitting place. There's no quitting place. There might be some changes, but there's no quitting place. There might be a change in what we're doing. Paul, on one occasion, went to Ephesus. On another occasion, went to Galatia. But he was still taking the same gospel to a people who needed it. He kept on preaching, kept on doing it. And from one city to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And. There was that continuous commitment, seeking after and seeking after. I wonder tonight, are we really committed to the task that is before us? I believe there's a test that we can make. What does it take to stop you? What does it take to stop you? You came to church tonight. What does it take to stop you from coming tonight? Well, whatever it took to stop you some other night, I suppose. What does it take to stop you from teaching or given the gospel? What does it take? Can it be done? If there is something that can stop us from doing what we know, that I wonder, are we really, really committed? We make up our excuses. We do this, we do that, we do the other thing. But commitment is realizing this is what God wants me to do, and I just keep on keeping on and keeping on. It's the Energizer Bunny, if you please. It's Timex, if you please. We take a licking and keep on ticking. It is sticking to the job that is before us. It's being dependable. Not sometimes. Not most of the time. But all of the time. Being one that somebody can say, I know they will do it. I know that it will get done. We look at these people and it says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. The Holy Spirit of God began to direct them. Up until this time, the Lord Jesus did. The Lord Jesus said, I want you to go into that upper room. I want you to wait. While they were waiting, they prayed. They were in one accord. That one accord continued on. The Holy Spirit of God directed them. The Holy Spirit of God led them. And He gave them each their individual instructions. And on and on and on they went. And that's exactly what God wants to do in our lives today. Are we listening to the Spirit of God as He directs us? Are we listening to Him? Are we allowing Him to have that full reign within our hearts? So often we find the very simple things that are listed in the Word of God, and the Spirit of God is trying to say, why don't you listen to this? And we don't even do that. God wants to do some marvelous things. I believe through the people of Open Door Baptist Church, I believe through you, I believe through me, I believe God has that in mind. And perhaps the big problem is we're not as committed as we think so. Because quite honestly, many times there are things that can stop us. There are things that will come up that we allow to keep us from doing what should be done. Here's a group of men and women. They were in one accord. And we find and. They kept at it. And they kept at it. Most of those who met in that upper room became martyrs and died because of the opposition. Isn't it amazing? These people kept on going. And Grandma comes and visits us, and we can't even get to church. Or this happens, or that happens. We need to let God have His way. Amen. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God, wants to lead us. Are we listening? Are we committed to Him? Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Lord, again, I thank You so much for what is accomplished. But, oh God, each one of us here are not what You really totally want. God, I pray we might be open to the leadership of the Spirit of God. Lord, we might be a people who are in one accord. Not complainative and whiny, but God, we might be shoulder to shoulder, laborers together. We might have that commitment in our soul for the things of God. I pray You'll work in our hearts. Lord, I believe that what we witnessed this morning is just a very small hint of what You really want in this place. God, I pray You'll energize our soul. Spirit of God, take control in lives. We might yield ourselves to You. I pray You'll work in our hearts. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I have no piano tonight. There's no, I guess we could call special effects. Perhaps you need to get out of your seat and just walk down to this aisle and bend your knee and bow your head and ask God to do something in your life. Just do so quickly while we wait. Spirit of God, make us willing listeners of your leadership. God, give us spiritual discernment and understanding. Lord, let us not have our eyes so focused upon ourselves and all that's round about, but God, that we might truly be focused upon you. Bless and work in our hearts and lives. O Spirit of God, this week, teach us. These men that are coming to us, use them, O God, for each of us. Help us understand that this business of missions and being missionaries is not just them. We are co-laborers together. We have a co-mission one with another. And thus we are co-missionaries. Lord, work in this week. Bless us as we consider how we can labor together. And that which you want us individually to do. Lord, that we might be willing to listen to that wonderful, sweet, small voice of the Spirit of God within. And that you would be glorified and honored and blessed. We ask these things in the name of our precious Savior. Amen.